boy. Oh boy.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know why he's saying that. It could be for completely different reasons to what I'm oh boying about.
Oh boy, especially for Attack on Titan. Just
okay. Let's. Should we get that one out of the way first?
Yeah, let's get that one out of the way first.
Okay, so. You're definitely going to need to answer some questions for me, because I mean,
oh, am I?
Well, first of all, I think it's really funny how the episode begins again with Eren in prison, looking in the mirror, going fight, and then Hanji's like, "What are you saying, like,
dude? What is wrong with you?"
Like, she's actively acknowledging, "Are you okay?" Like, what do you mean by fight? What are you fighting? Are there two fights? And Eren's like, I'm just crazy. I mean, I don't think he is crazy. Well, depends on your definition of crazy.
I was about to say, I think he snapped long ago.
Yeah, and I remember actually, like, because the moment that sort of got me was when Hanji sort of says, like, "Oh, I never thought you'd sacrifice Historia," and I'm like, "Wait, what?" And then the opening credits plays. I'm like, "No, what does she mean by that? What does she mean
no
by that?
No credits? Don't you do that?"
Wait, did somebody eat Historia while I wasn't looking? What happened?
Oh, God, could you imagine if they actually pulled that?
Oh, if they did.
Historia got killed off screen.
That would suck.
Just like Ymir.
I mean, to be fair, hers wasn't as bad, because we kind of all knew she was going to die the moment she went with Reiner and Bertolt. Anyway, we're already getting distracted because, you know, we haven't got as much time, because we've also got an episode of Ruby to recap. But
yeah. Anyway, we end up back in the past. Get used to that. This episode keeps going back and forth
yeah,
the whole time.
Can I actually quickly add, I got really confused half the time, because there were moments where I was like, wait, are we still in the present or have we gone back in time? And it just wasn't always clear. And it got to the point where I was like, okay, is this a flashback or are we in the present? Wait, Sasha's there. It's a flashback. Excuse me while I cry for a bit.
Oh, no, I'll save that for later. But oh, there's a specific bit that made me go, this is cute and adorable. I'm now sad.
Screw you, show.
Screw you, show, for making me sad. Anyway, we end up back with the volunteers and everyone basically going, hey, we haven't seen you guys in a while. Levi's like, please keep away from my guys.
It's hilarious how they are so much taller than Levi now. I find that so funny. And even later in the episode, Levi's like, oh, this is so tall now. I'm like, ah, that's great. He's petty. Levi's petty.
I do remember, I can't remember which of the manga subs that it was, but one of them was, how dare you grow so tall.
Yeah, that's great. I like that. But
just more funny Levi moments.
And it's at this point where I was sort of like, oh, we're following up on this now, where it turns out fake Japan is on Paradise's side. And
yes.
What's it? Azumabito is her name? Or
Kiyumi Azumabito.
Azumabito,
yes.
Yeah. She shows up. And I'm not entirely sure how to feel about this. I mean, like, not Japan showing up to be like, oh, hey, we're on your side is great and all. But it's the moment where they're like, Mikasa, you're the descendant of our shogun. And I'm like, what?
It's like they bring up like the basically like the flag of their homeland and the flag of like their shogun, like a three cross swords put together, and they're like, do you recognize this symbol? And it's like, and Mikasa's like, wait, that's the same signal that I have under these garments I keep on my arm.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, wait,
it's like, oh, it's the same symbol as the one I've had imprinted on my wrist, you know, the symbol I've never shown throughout the entirety of this show.
You know what's hilarious? They do actually, I think it was in the second or third opening, they actually do show her, like, putting, like, the wristband things on. It's like, ah, now it makes sense in hindsight.
I know, but, like, it would have been nice if that symbol on her wrist was an established thing, like, back in, like, season one or something. Because I'm going to be honest, this whole thing, I'm not saying it's a plot hole or anything. God, no, I'm not saying that. But I do think
Is it necessary?
I don't think it's necessary. It has, like, no foreshadowing whatsoever. And the fact it's, like, you know, because it's not just the fact that, oh, Mikasa's mother was from this nation, because I think they explained that, like not Japan and Paradise were working together before the big war. Then the big war happened, and apparently, like, I'm guessing Mikasa's mother, or at least, like, one of Mikasa's relatives, was left behind on the island.
I think it was established like a group of people were stuck on the
island. Yeah, so a bunch of not Japanese people were left on the island, and obviously that's where Mikasa comes from. But the fact it's like that could have been it, that would have been fine. But the fact it's like, no, you are directly descended from our shogun, is like, okay, that's a big deal. And then it's just kind of dropped, like.
It's used as the pretense for the rest of the Hizuru's plot in this episode. The thing is, though, it could have been used effectively because they kind of set it up here where it's like her and Historia kind of have this thing where Historia's like, hey, we're kind of on the same level now. We're both kind of royalty in a way.
Okay, I like that. That was cute. But
the thing is, if they went further with that, like throughout the rest of the season, it would make sense. It's all dependent on if they do that.
Yeah, it just feels like this is like such a major turning point for Mikasa's character, and it's kind of just a bit part in this overall plot. And I think if they just had her be, oh, you're actually from this nation, this is your homeland, rather than it just be, you're actually descended from royalty, it's like, that could have been fine.
Hmm. Yeah, it just feels unnecessary the way they handled it at the moment. But then again, it also is treated almost like a pretense when we then get into the nitty-gritty of why Hizuru's here in the first place.
Yeah, because I do like the fact that I think later on they kind of established that he, like, Azuma Bito, I apologize if I keep getting her name wrong, she wants to work with Paradis, but it's not for noble reasons. It's not we actually care about the well-being of Eldians. It's profit. It's all profit. And it's kind of making me realize, is anybody in this show not just out for themselves? I feel like everybody is just doing what they want to do because it benefits them. There is no sense of, like, and I get that's probably meant to be the point, but I am really leaning towards, you know what? You all suck. I know I joked about that, like, two recaps ago or something, but I'm legit getting there. I'm like, man, I don't want any of these guys to win.
Why do you all suck so hard? The thing is, there are moments where they do show they do care, but at the same time, it's like, it's kind of brought down a notch where it's like, ah, you're here for profits.
I just want Levi to get on a boat with Hanji, Mikasa, Armin, Connie, Jean, and Historia, and they all just leave. Just go. No, we're out.
Just have fun adventures on their own. Not having to deal with any of this other shit.
I'm done with this bullshit, yeah. But
sadly, that's not happening, because it turns out they'd be making a deal with Zeke.
Yeah, okay, this bit where, like, it flashes back to Azuma Bito meeting Zeke, and he pulls out, like, the maneuver gear that he stole in season 2, I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Yep. And they also bring up the whole thing of why Hizuru's there in the first place. Like, hey, Paradise Islands has special gas, special stones called Ice Burst, which I have actually looked up, because I was like, is this based on anything real? And it turns out it's actually kind of based on something real. It's called methane clathrate, or methane ice, or fire ice if you want to be really extra. And yeah, this is actually a real natural gas that's used.
Oh, neat.
So the more you know.
Neat.
Neat. And that's what's been used for the maneuver gear this entire time.
This has been the Education Dome with your hosts.
I'm not a real scientist, just to give you just to flare that up. But yeah, it's basically just to flag that up, and then goes through basically here's Zeke's deal, and it goes through three things, and it's about, hey, let's prepare to use the rumbling, and it's like, no.
Okay, so I do have to ask, is this actually Zeke's plan, or is there still, do we only know, like, the setup for the plan? Because this is a bit I'm a little bit confused of. I don't know if they actually explained what Zeke's secret plan is, or this is all just the setup for his actual plan.
Oh, this is all still set up.
Okay, so
he's still not told what the actual plan is.
Because I was legit thinking, watch this, going, that still doesn't solve the problem, Zeke. Also, screw you, your plan clearly sucks.
It makes it, because I'm not going to lie, there was actually parts in this where it's like, oh, that makes sense now. That makes it worse.
Oh, God.
Because yeah. I know what the secret plan is, and I'm just there like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so I still don't know. But yeah, he's basically like, okay, we need to be able to get access to the rumbling. Like you know, it's like, first is a test run, which I'm guessing is what Eren's attack on Marley was a few episodes ago. I guess that was meant to be the demonstration. Next is Hizuru's corporation. That's not Japan. Like, I finally remember their name. And but it's also like, oh yeah, we need to make the military. You need to make your military stronger so that we don't. So that we won't need to use the rumbling. And then also we need to get the founding titan and a titan with royal bloods to be passed down. So, and at first I'm like, oh my god, are you gonna? So you want to eat Historia? And Zeke's like, no, I always let Historia eat me. And I'm like, oh, that's somehow just as bad.
Yeah, it's like whatever way you look at it, none of this is good. Oh, and also, no one comes out this well.
And then he's also like, oh, by the way, make sure to pump out lots of babies. Like,
that was the messed up bit where it's like, oh, you literally just wanted to have children for the rest of her 13 years.
Wants to turn Historia into a baby farm. And I love both Eren and Hanji's reactions. I mean, Hanji doesn't say anything, but like in her head, she basically points out, okay, but then wouldn't all we be doing is just delaying the problem so that our descendants have to deal with this exact bullshit? Like, we're just prolonging it. Is it fair? Yeah, is it right for us to push this problem on our descendants to save ourselves now? And I like that. And then Uncle Hanji's also like, she asked that question, is like, wait a second, this isn't a rhetorical question. No, it's not. And then Eren's, you know, actually says what Hanji's thinking, and he's like, no, this is bullshit. Zeke can take his plan and shove it.
It's like, yeah. It's like, wow, Eren, you made the first good point in ages. Can't wait to see you ruin it for the rest of us, but...
I get, well, that's the thing, though. Eren's, because, you know, Historia's, Hanji saying, oh, like, I thought, like, you're willing to... Because it's, I'm guessing Hanji thinks that Eren's now going along with Zeke's plan. I still don't buy that. I think that's what everyone else is thinking that, but I think Eren's legit trying to figure out a way to combine all the Titan powers into himself and then blow up or something.
You are still thinking he's pulling the Lelouch,
yep,
right there.
That's what I'm going to do. But then...
Did we just turn Lelouch into a verb? That's exactly what we've done.
Yeah. Yeah. He's Lelouching it.
Oh, I love that.
And then we get this really tense scene. Again, it cuts back to the present day where Hanji's just talking to Eren. And Eren's basically like, oh, by the way, I ate the Warhammer. I could break out whenever I want. And I'm like, oh no, he's Uncle Iroh-ing it. Yeah, I'm making Iroh a verb as well. He's only here because he wants to be. He's like...
Which then begs the question, why does he want to be there?
And as he also points out, because he has the Founding Titan, even if they want to kill him, they can't.
Yep.
And then like he like reaches through the bars and grabs Hanji by the collar and is all like, you've got a plan, Hanji? Come on, let's hear if you've got a plan. And I'm not entirely sure what's going on there. I feel like it's either a case... I think like the intent is to make the audience think he's like... being rhetorical, as if like, oh, do you have a better plan? But a part of me wonders if he's legit asking her, and he's like just like masking it in anger. If he wants Hanji to say, hey, good news, I have a plan, that means we don't have to sacrifice Historia, and Eren's just begging to hear it, but it doesn't.
He knows that there isn't one, but he wants to hear, because Hanji's always the one who comes up with the ideas.
Yeah, and I really like, because like Hanji eventually like, you know, storms off and is sort of like, Erwin, the worst, you only ever made one mistake in your life, and that's putting me in charge. I'm like, oh, Hanji.
Oh. Hanji, that's not true. Also, I just love the shot of when she's leaving, it then cuts to Eren, and Eren's just in complete shadow, still at the bars. It's like...
They're really trying to make us think he's the bad guy. And honestly, I'm not sure. I'm like 50-50.
All you need is a little push in one direction. It's just a question of which direction is it going to fall into.
Yeah, and then after that, we get... I'm kind of mad, okay?
I knew it. As soon as this happened, I was like, oh yeah, it's this bit. Oh no.
Because then we just cut to Historia at like some cabin somewhere, and she's pregnant. And quite far in too. I'm assuming at almost 9 months with that bump.
Quite far in, and also... thoroughly miserable.
Remind me, how old is Historia meant to be?
I think she's meant to be like the same age as them, so around about, at this point, about 18, 19.
Yeah, pregnant at 18/19. That's not good. Oh. I mean, I get, you know, it was consensual, from what I can tell, from what little information we gather. At least I bloody hope it was.
Yeah, because we get told in the next one, like, all the officers are arguing over dinner. Like, oh, why did she have to get pregnant now? We were meant to feed Zeke to...
they're like, oh, we all know that the moment you start drinking, you start expositing.
Yeah. Well, I say it as if it's all of them. It's only one dickhead.
Oh, yeah, this asshole. Who's all like, oh.
All the rest are just like, dude, stop.
Someone needed to sock him in the mouth.
Just a tad.
But yeah, as they explain, like, at some point during the time skip, Historia banged a dude who... Okay, at first I was... Because they do a flashback because they explain that they knew each other when she was a child working on the farm. And that apparently this guy, when he was a kid, threw rocks at her. And I'm like, why would she ever want to... But then they explain later, oh, he felt bad though. And I'm like, okay, that makes it a tiny bit better. That, like, he sort of... He then, like,
as he grew up, he was like, I was an asshole to her. I need to apologize.
That's good. But then apparently, because she just came to him and they bonked and she got pregnant the first try. And I choose to... Okay, here's the thing, though. She could be bi. You know, it's entirely possible. But I like to believe it was a case of, should I try it? Ah, no, I didn't like it. I don't think I'll do that again. What do you mean I'm pregnant? Oh, God damn it. Oh,
God damn it.
The one time. Also, don't tell me that when don't tell me that, like, in the bedroom she didn't, like, have Ymir's old outfit. Like, you can just, like, put this on for me. Like, might make it a bit easier. Can you just be really angry all the time? That kind of gets me going.
Hold on, I need to put you on a platform because you're not nearly as tall as Ymir was. Yeah. Oh, never mind.
But yeah, poor Historia, because even when, like, in the flashback bit, when we see her arriving at the barn to bonk this dude, it's just she just looks so distraught, just like so emotionless.
Yeah, she's not as bad as Eren, but getting there.
And now I'm just like, where's this now going? Like, is the baby going to be important? Because
They do bring up that they. Because originally the plan was to feed Zeke to her straight away as soon as he arrived on the island. But then she got pregnant before he arrived, and now it's like, we can't do that now.
Yeah, because what will happen to the baby? Like,
what will happen to both the baby and her?
Yeah, and then this asshole's all like, oh, let's just feed Zeke to her anyway. And I'm like, dude, shut up.
Dude, you are a dick. Like, I think this is the first time we've met him, and it's just like, wow, you're already a dislikable character. That's impressive for this show.
Well, don't forget, because then after that bit, because they've got, like, a Malian servant, and it's like, oh, like, they're doing to the Malians they've captured kind of what... I mean, maybe not as bad, but, like, it's still pre-dicey.
The most... I'd like to say the most tense going to get a bottle of wine in if any show I've seen, because it literally plays the creepy music as it's going to get the bottle.
Yeah, and then
like, Niccolo's down there and is like, oh, do you mean this? And he points the bottle at him.
He so poisons that bottle. I'm calling it now.
I have no idea what you mean.
And then this is the bit that really confused me, because then we do cut back to like 2 years beforehand, but the show didn't tell me that. So I'm watching Sean and Connie build this railroad. Like, why are they building this railroad at this point in time? And then Sastra appears in the background. I'm like, oh, it's the past. Okay.
Can I just say her wacky shenanigans with Armin in the background of this bit?
It's
so cute, but at the same time, stop it.
Why?
We're already sad. Also, Mikasa carrying three massive metal bars,
That was funny. But the fact that also as well that she just, like, no one questions it, because they know her at this point. It's like, yeah, she can do that.
Yeah, she's fine. And it's like, then Levi and Hanji arrive, basically to say, hey, Hizuru's not going to help us do trade with everybody else.
I don't understand why Hanji's in a suit wearing they're in the middle of a desert.
Yeah. I'm supposing they've just got back from the... From the diplomacy meeting, maybe, but still. But
Levi's not in a suit.
Yeah, but that's Levi. Levi ain't gonna get in a suit.
Just imagining Levi rocking, I'm sorry, sir, but there is a dress code. Do I look like I give a shit? No, you don't, sir. Have a lovely afternoon.
That's my new headcanon for any scene, and I won't take anything else. But they're basically like going through, like, okay, we have a different plan, which is, hey, the whole world still thinks that we're monsters. Let's show them we're not. And their plan is to go into Mali and create a base. And they end up on the train. And probably this is probably my favourite scene of the episode. And probably one of my favourite episodes in bits in general. Them discussing what's going to happen with Eren's Titan. Who's going to inherit it.
I will agree with you. That scene was great.
Like, it's such a... It's both harrowing of, like, oh, yeah, someone's got to eat Eren, and at the same time, it's sweet.
Because all the characters are all taking it in turns to go, I'll be the one to take it, because they're trying to save everyone else as well. They don't want, they're all trying to stop each other from getting the burden. You know, and they don't say that, obviously, because at first Jorn's like, well, obviously I'll eat Eren and take the Attack Titan, because I'm the best one here, clearly. But then Connie's like, wait, no, that doesn't make sense, because if you're the best one here, that means you're less expendable. We should give it to like to someone like me. I'm totally expendable. And Sasha's like, no, I'm more expendable. I'll take the Attack Titan.
It's the fact she goes, no, but you're really dumb. Like, but I need to take it. And then he's like,
that's what's great, though. The fact that they're saying, no, you're too stupid, but you know inside that, like, I know, they're doing it for your own good, man. They're like, oh, they care about each other, but they just won't say it.
I do love that, too. But just the legitimate, like, goes, but wait, that makes no sense. You're dumber than me. It's like, and they're just like, huh?
God, I love those two so much.
Oh.
And of course, Eren like gets all really mopey because he's like, no, I don't want any of you guys to get it because I want you to live long lives. And it's like, oh, Eren!
And I love it where it is that actual moment of silence where everyone's like, he just said it.
It's just such a nice scene. And I hate that Eren ruined it.
Eren ruins so much.
Because isn't this like then followed up with like a scene of like of the same group minus Eren, like in the present going like, what the shit is Eren doing?
Like, yeah, basically like Connie is literally looking like,
oh, that's so good. I like Eren, it.
Connie is literally like, no, screw him. I'm done. Like, he's gone.
Connie's like, we may need to cut him off, like, for good. And Mikasa's like, no, because, like, you know, obviously she's still going to protect Eren. And I like how Connie's like, do you want to know what he did when I told him Sasha died? He laughed. Why is that funny? Why did he laugh? And it's like, he doesn't lose it, but you can tell Connie's just hanging by a thread.
It's just the stare. Like, there's so much in that look that's like, oh, Connie is straining.
And he's even like, he's like, Eren's siding with his half-brother over us. And I'm like, oh, God, everyone knows they're half-brothers. Oh, no.
Oh, it's literally the dynamic breaking apart. And it's as they said, like, it's been several years, like, Eren's clearly changed and changed for the worse.
And I'm still asking the same question I've been asking for the last 5 episodes. What happened, Eren? Because now that I'm realizing, because now that he pointed out that their plan was to enter Marley, like, to approach them and try and negotiate, I mean, again, what Eren did was already awful, but that makes it so much worse.
Yeah,
they were going.
He's dragged them into a conflict.
I mean, I don't think peaceful. The sad thing is, I think I said this last time. I don't think peaceful negotiations with Marley would have worked. I legit don't think Marley would ever have like agreed, or at the very least, they would have done that thing, you know, where they would keep moving the goalposts.
Yeah.
Or what's it's like? Oh, meet me halfway, and then they take steps back. No, meet me halfway. Oh, take another step back. Meet me halfway. So that I think that's what they would have done. But
I feel what would have happened is war would have happened. But over time, the whole nations of the world would go, look, you just keep picking the fight. You can't win. They keep beating you back. And also, you're just picking on a nation that's barely defending itself at this point. What's the point of fighting? And it would force Marley to enter the negotiations. But Eren ruined that.
So what's the plan? Oh, I need to stop asking that because it's not like James is just going to go, well, here's why.
Can you imagine if I did that? That's so mean.
I wonder if there are people who do that. You know, people who like watch a show and go, oh, what does that mean? And then the guy, oh, I just thinks they're legit asking, just explains like 10 episodes worth of plot. And it's like, you bitch.
Can you imagine they completely forget themselves? Like, oh, God, what have I done? But also, I'm just going to say this right now. Allow me to put this in my bitch later folder.
Oh, which bit's that?
Just everything that Eren's saying, like, oh, you're the people I care about the most. Putting that in the bitch later.
Oh, God, that makes me worried.
Especially worried because we then see the forest of giant trees, Zeke Reading and Levi there and all the soldiers, and they're drinking the same wine bottle from earlier, and the creepy music plays in... even more.
Oh, that's the same wine bottle? Oh, no.
The same type of wine.
Oh, I see. I thought the exact same bottle. I was like, oh, God. Can you imagine? Next episode, Zeke's dead. Like, someone poisoned him, and it's like, no!
That is the most well-travelled wine in the entire show.
But, actually, the thing I completely forgot was, as Armin points out, now that Paradis has the Titan juice, it's like, what if they just turned somebody into a Titan and had them eat Eren? I'm like, that would solve so many of their problems.
At this stage, yes.
The problem is, though, is that how would they even be able to do that? Because I feel like, again, Eren has like 3 Titans worth of power in it on him. Like,
they would literally have to weaken him so badly.
I think what they'd have to do is they'd legit have to, like, drug him or something. Like, just make him, like, catatonic before, like, getting somebody to eat him. Because if he has any strength to fight back, I don't think they'd win.
Yeah, they'd lose. Oh, what a depressing thought.
Ugh.
And yeah, that's it. That's the end of the episode. And then the next episode shows, it's going to be a Gabby and Falco episode.
I love how the next episode preview straight up says, Gabby and Falco break out of prison. Oh, okay, there's that tension.
Okay.
There's that tension gone.
And then they end up at the home of a certain family, and it's like, oh.
I can't wait for this entire... Because I can already tell the next episode is going to have, like, Gabby and Falco being taken in by, like, another family of Eldians, and the family's going to be real nice to them, and Gabby's going to be like, "What? No, but they're the bad guys! They can't be nice to me! Ah, conflict of morals! Ah!"
You have no idea.
And she'll probably shoot somebody else. So I'm sorry, Gabby's like, God, you shoot one main character.
And suddenly I shoot everybody.
And suddenly that's apparently all I do.
The thing is, they kind of spoil who she's with at the end of the episode.
I think
you might have missed it.
I have missed it, because I've got no clue.
Yeah. Rewatch that final segment later and then send me a message when you recognise them.
No, I don't want to. I want to be surprised.
You're going to be like, no.
I rewatched the bit and I'm like, I still don't know who they are.
I'll just be like, oh.
Come on, Michael, don't you recognise the family from season 1, episode 16?
The hilarious thing is there are a couple of season 1 characters just like that who suddenly become not massively important, but like, hey, I'm secondary character now.
Does that guy from, you know, the son of the merchant guy from season 3 who helped organize the uprising, does he come back to be cool again or something?
Sadly, no.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he comes back, sadly.
It's like, whatever happened to that guy? Oh, he died.
Oh, that would suck.
That'd just be mean.
Like, spend the whole time like, going, no, take up your father's business and actually stand up to the oppressive government. Oh, now he's dead.
You know what that is? It's like when in DBZ Abridged, when Cell's recapping all the Dragon Ball. Hey, whatever happened to his brother? Oh, he died.
Yeah. Oh, he died.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Anyway, shall we move on to Ruby now?
Yes, let's move on to Ruby. Yeah, let's move on from one horrifying thing to another horrifying thing.
We actually managed to very quickly sum up a lot of what I wanted to talk about, which is good, because I have got opinions about this episode.
Oh, do you?
I don't know about you, James. I felt like this was the weakest episode in this volume so far. I'm not calling I'm not calling it bad. There's just a lot here that makes me kind of go, oh.
Oh, okay.
And clearly from your reaction, you disagree, which is great, because now we can have a debate.
I wouldn't call it the weakest, but I look forward to hearing your opinions on why you think it's the weakest.
I look forward to hearing you about your opinions.
Yes. This is why we love doing this show. We both love hearing each other's opinions.
But yeah, so the episode... Okay, this is actually my first quote-unquote critique, which is about... Because the episode begins with the war between Atlas's military and the endless swarm of Grimm coming out the whale's mouth. And then we do get this nice shot of like the camera swooping down the battlefield as you see a bunch of Atlas soldiers just dead. It's like, oh, yeah, this is going poorly. And then it then cuts to Yang, Zhaun, Ren in the whale. And I'm like, oh, they got in.
Yeah, I was about to say, did we miss a bit?
I was expecting that to be like a whole bit of them trying to maneuver this this chaotic battle to get inside the world. But apparently they got in super easy. Although I suppose Ren could have used his semblance to mask them so the Grim wouldn't have spotted them. I guess that... Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
I'll give that a pass, but I would have thought...
But Yang does bring up that, oh, that was harrowing. It's like, yeah, we would have liked to have seen that.
It's like, man, what an epic adventure that was. Shame no one was around to see it.
The whole audience is like, boo.
And then they're sort of like, oh man, how are we supposed to find Oscar in this giant well? There's no way we could manage this in the space of like 20 minutes. And I'm just like looking at the episode timer going, And the thing is though, thankfully, you know, Ren now has the power to sense emotion. So again, that's another sort of workaround. So it's like, oh, okay, we can find Oscar. I mean, he can't pinpoint exactly where Oscar is, but like the power is just makes it so much easier.
Follow all the other emotional people around the place and eventually we'll find Oscar.
And
is essentially the plan.
And sorry, I kind of hijacked this entire thing so far, but I just really, I will say, I know I already kind of like bitched a little bit about this episode already, but I just, there's this really nice bit where Ren meant like, because obviously him using like both his semblance powers is going to like take its toll on him. And Jean's all like, well, I can help you with like my aura. And Ren's like, yeah, good thinking, thanks. Which is great, because if you remember in like episode 2, when Jean was trying to help Ren out, Ren was just being like really snippy and just being a dick. And now he's, and now here he's like, no, I am going to be more open to receiving my friend's help. That's not a weakness. Like, we make each other stronger. And it's like, ah, subtle character growth. That's nice.
Ren's not a dick anymore.
Yeah. And then we cut to Oscar.
Poor Oscar.
Brooding a tiny bit.
To be fair, brooding in pain because he's just had another round of torture by the looks of it.
It's like, oh, my life sucks.
It's like, oh yeah, what's happening? Oh yeah, burn marks all over me because I've literally been attacked by her magic again.
Yeah, although we do get this bit as well because like, Ospin still suggests that maybe the plan to divide Sen's forces isn't going to work. So like they'll need to start using like, you know, Ospin's magic. But then Oscar mentions how every time they use the magic, he can feel them like merging, and he doesn't want that to happen yet. And I'm sort of like, was that already an established thing that the more they use the magic, the more they start to fuse? Or is this just like a thing they've just dropped on us here?
I think it's been hinted that the more over time they're merging. I don't think they've mentioned that magic actively forces the merge quicker. So I think that is a new thing.
I don't know, maybe I'm being a bit overly harsh, but I'm kind of tired now of the whole, oh, I don't want to become Ospin again. Oh, I'm sort of like, oh, okay. I feel like we've had like 4 volumes of this at this point.
It feels like we've never been DBZ Abridged with nails in Piccolo's head. And he's like, ah, I should merge your subconscious. Maybe. And it's like, just commit to the bit. Either have it merge with Oscar, or just have it that he just stays.
I'm guessing
pick one or the other.
Maybe they're building up to like a really big moment where Oscar's personality straight up does die. You know, Ospin fully takes over and Oscar's just not there anymore, which would be a ballsy move. I'd give him that.
Yeah.
But it's sort of a bit like, I'm kind of over this like little plot arc now, especially again, remember back in volume 6 where Oscar sort of like made peace with the possibility of, I mean, I suppose you can make the argument, oh, but he's still a kid though, but it's like,
It's something that's just, it's, they're not fully committing to, and they keep dragging it out. And it's like, no, it's run its course now. Please pick. Please stick with it now. Mm. But
again, not a major criticism. It's just a very minor thing. But
I imagine what's going to happen is maybe at the end of this season, that's going to have volume that's going to happen.
Yeah, or maybe Ospin will like be a cool guy and be like, actually, you know what? No, I'll let my personality die so that Oscar can carry on.
Maybe. Personally, that's most probably what's going to happen.
I think that'd be a lot more. I think that would make a lot more sense. But then,
speaking of sense,
oh yeah. Before that, though, actually, Hazel then comes into the room and just takes Oscar away, and it's like, oh, Doug, you're going to punch me again? Later, maybe.
Stop hurting Oscar.
But I mean, to be fair, he does. But that's later.
Yeah.
But then we cut back to the battle where they're in the trenches. And, you know, we got to hold this line. And they're all being sent out. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. I can't take this dramatic battle scene seriously when one of your soldiers is on rollerblades and another one of them is going into battle with a trumpet.
It's like, I'm sorry. No.
And this is obviously, I mean, to be fair, when I saw that they were like, those guys were there in the Atlas armor, I was like, oh my God, they're sending their kids in? And then Marrow's like, it's okay, Michael. I got you. They're just kids. Now, thanks, Marrow.
Thank you, Mara, for being the voice of reason.
But
it's kind of like horrifying and just like. I'm not gonna lie, I saw them, I was like, oh, please don't die. Like,
I think that would be unnecessary if they got
unnecessarily
killed.
Cruel.
That would just be mean.
It would be just reminder, if they do, it'd be like, hey, look, this is horrible, isn't it? It's like, yeah, we know that. We would have known that before this happened. Yeah, we didn't need this rooster teeth.
You didn't need to kill the trumpet guy.
And rollerblade girl, you didn't need to kill them.
Oh, I guess Nyan Cat is a dead meme.
I keep forgetting that's what she's based on. I keep forgetting that's exactly what she is.
Yeah, but then we cut back to Hazel and Oscar, and then Hazel's kind of like, I guess you could call it giving Oscar an ultimatum, because he's basically like, you know, because if Oscar was lying to him about activating the lamp, and he took that lie to Salem, Salem would probably take her anger out on Hazel.
Yeah.
But if Oscar's telling the truth. Then and he give that to Salem. Then shit. So what he's gonna do is he's gonna make Oscar do it. He's like, oh, if you're telling the truth, you do it then.
And then Emerald comes in, like, what are you guys doing?
By the way, I'm here. I'm not doing anything apparently.
To be fair, we have been setting up for the last few volumes that Emerald's kind of like, I want to get out. I want out of this crazy place.
Yeah, so Oscar summons Jin. It works. Hazel and Emerald are like, oh, shit!
Oh, shit, you weren't lying.
And then
Hazel's like, actually, you answered my question. And I'm literally going, ask a question.
Yeah, because...
Don't matter what it is, just ask the question.
Yeah, Jin says, like, oh, like, do you have a question? And then Hazel's like, I think all my questions are answered now. I'm redeeming myself now. And I'm like... Oh, that's it, is it? Okay.
Wow, these redemption arcs are really easy.
Okay, I'm just going to jump to it right now. Okay, I need to clarify. Before I do that, I need to clarify. I am not saying it's out of character for Hazel and Emerald to defect from Salem. If anything...
Especially Emerald.
It makes perfect sense for these two especially to ditch Salem's group. I have kind of been expecting this for a while, but I still feel like this happened too quickly. I know, like, it's kind of been building up a little bit throughout the volumes, but the fact that this moment kind of makes... The fact that this is what it takes for Hazel to go, well, I guess I shouldn't work for Salem anymore. And I guess it's because he's putting his faith in Oscar rather than Ospin, which I do like. Mm. I like that aspect, that because he has always acknowledged that Oscar and Ospin are two different people, which just makes him... torturing Oscar so infuriating for me, but anyway. But I kind of feel like if this is all it took for to have Hazel kind of like switch sides, it honestly just makes his motivation even weaker in my opinion. It's like, I guess you weren't really that dedicated to the cause when you think about it.
It's like, if he was younger, I would say, oh, he's like an angry child, but he's not, he's an adult.
Yeah, like he's meant to be like a fully grown man, and it was sort of like, oh... And the thing is, I think it's almost worse for Emerald, because again, you know, it makes sense for her to finally ditch the group. But my problem with that is that it seems to be based on Hazel's actions, a character she hasn't really interacted all that often, at least on screen. And Cinder's not here. Like, that's the bit that sort of gets me. I always felt that if Emerald was to ever, like, ditch Salem, it would be, like, Cinder would have some sort of involvement with that. And I don't know, maybe they're building up to a thing that... Because we do eventually see Emerald does ditch the whale with Yang, Zhorn, and Ren and all that. And maybe they're building up to, like, Emerald will track down Cinder and try to convince Cinder to also ditch Salem. Just say, look, we just need to get out. And then Cinder is just like, you know... You stupid girl. Like, if you betray me, then you're my enemy. And then that's what finally gets Emerald to realise, oh, Cinder actually doesn't care about me. Because here's the thing, though. I actually do want Emerald to join the good guys. Like, imagine that. Have Emerald side with, like... And have maybe Volume 9 or Volume 10 be a whole volume of Emeralds trying to regain the heroes' trust.
Mm.
I think that would make some very interesting dynamics. But I kind of... Am I making sense? But I feel
like... You're making sense. Like, it feels like there just needed to be a few added scenes. Like, because with Emerald especially, like, there have been, like, it's been, for the last few volumes, it's been basically like, get it through your head, Cinder doesn't care about you and you are in with the wrong crowd. And it was a couple of episodes ago where Mercury was like, she don't care about you. She literally does not care about you. And also Hazel did save her at the beginning, a couple of volumes ago.
Yeah, I do remember that, but it seems a bit weird to me that what sort of gets Emeralds to initially defect is Hazel and not like anything involving with Cinder.
It feels like it's harking back to that scene. Like, he's always, like, the one main scene they had together, he backed her up and protected her. Like, maybe that's what it's meant to be. But it's like, that was a long time ago at this point.
I think what
sort of... kind of needed a bit more.
I think what maybe irks me is the fact that Emerald sort of does it without any sort of questioning. Again, like, you can make the argument that she didn't need much more convincing. But I think just, like, a scene of, like, her realizing that, oh, Hazel's ditching. And, like, he's going to help Oscar, our prisoner to escape. I feel like if a moment where she sort of tried to talk Hazel out of this, and then Hazel properly just sat her down for like a minute and just explained to her, listen, like, you shouldn't be here, and like, or something like that, just a brief conversation of Hazel convincing Emeralds to fight, like, have him say, you know, I know you've always had your doubts, I know deep down you really don't want to be here and it's all because of Cinder, but I am telling you it's in your best interest that you get out of this. And Emerald sort of going, you know what, yeah, you're right. But no, she kind of just like goes along with Hazel, and I'm just really confused, and I'm like, okay, let's just do that.
It could also be that she's just playing everyone, which would be really dumb. Oh.
Sorry, at first I was about to go, that'd be really clever, but I'm sort of like, then again, that sounds like some really unnecessary three-dimensional chess bullshit.
It would be some three-dimensional chess, but at the same time, we'd be building up that Emerald's going to be the one to leave the group for several volumes to then have it go, oh, I was always deep, deep down working with them. It's like, wait, what? That's not what we were setting up, though.
Anyway, we need to move on. But yeah, so yeah. They all leave without the lamp, I guess. Yeah, because Hazel says he'll come back for it, because I guess if he didn't take it now, Neo wouldn't be able to steal it later.
Well, they did say that. They did say that as soon as they grab the lamp, every alarm's going to go off.
Oh, yeah.
So they want to get Oscar off the whale first.
They did. Okay, never mind. I will rescind my criticism. But to be fair, that moment where they leave and then, like, you see Neo's camouflaged herself against the wall, and I'm just like, ooh. Yeah. So now Neo's not... Because eventually Salem's like, someone's taken the lamp. So Neo's nicked the lamp, and she knows the password. But now I have a very funny image in my head of Neo with, like, Neo with this twisted grin, picking up the lamp, opening her mouth, and then being like, oh, wait. I'm mute. Shit. And just shake. I can just picture her just shaking the lamp in frustration, like hitting it against the wall, like, God damn it.
But then there's the big question. Why did she steal it?
Oh, I hope she defects too. Just arrives in front of Ruby, hands the lamp back. We good?
We good. I'm out.
Or if it's like, can I kill you just a little bit, though? No. Oh, fine.
Just porks off.
Neo joins the heroes, but spends the entirety of the show just every once in a while just trying to stab Ruby in the neck, and they keep catching her. Neo, ah, you got me.
Oh, that Neo.
That'd be silly, but
that's why we love the show, but it's also embracing the silliness.
But yeah, so cut back to Ren's squads. They're like,
I love this scene. Like, I love this bit just when Ren's starting to get tired out. So Jean's like, okay, I'll go on ahead, like, scout out. He's gone. Yang like does some funny quips, and Ren's like, you know, you don't have to make a joke. You can just say you're afraid. And I do like it that Yang doesn't like get angry about that. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice.
We're both scared.
It's a nice little moment. It almost feels like they're sort of making up after their little bitch session out in the wastelands.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. Although I'm not gonna lie, the way like Jean just sort of ran like, "I'll scout ahead," I'm like, "Oh, he's gonna die!" Like, it's like, just, I'm shocked that they didn't just hear screams like.
But coming to that, I do love it when Ren's like, "Yeah, but we're scared." But Jean, there's no fear in him at all. They have a little chat, and then Jean just running towards him.
I'm so afraid!
Now I'm scared!
Well, the thing is, though, I think Ren's line of, like, oh, there's no fear in Jean, it's meant to be, like, very sort of like, oh, good for Jean, like, he's really got himself together. But I'm like, really? No fear? Like, not even a tiny bit? Like, that's... Normally that's a sign of, like, psychotic, like...
Yeah. Like, this is the point where you're like, no, you should be scared. This is the time you really need to be on edge.
You know, I was about
to keep safe.
I was about to say maybe they're going to go somewhere with that, but honestly, we've already had like 3 volumes of Jean throwing himself into danger due to his survivor's guilt. I feel like we don't need to revisit that. That'd be silly.
Oh no. Let's not have that again.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking too deep into that. I think it's meant to say Jean's character arc is complete, and it's like, okay.
It was also just meant to like, oh yeah, he's not scared at all. Meanwhile, he's running around the corner going, shit. Because it's the little jellyfish creatures coming round the corner.
Don't mind me.
And he's like, quick, hide us.
Just on my sabbatical. Taking my daily constitutional. And then like Ren's like semblance drops and the jellyfish is like, hang on a second.
It's the fact that the grudge sound effect it uses for a voice just keeps getting higher and higher. It's like, oh, yep, it's about to let loose.
Yeah.
And then we see Hazel and Emerald walking down the corridor, and it's like, oh, Salen's coming the other direction. Oh, no, she's going to notice.
It's like, yeah, because she's all like, ah, Hazel, have you gotten what we need? And Hazel's like, duh.
It's like, wow, you are so bad at... I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I'm like, wow, you are so bad at lying, Hazel, or, wow, Salem, you're really not as clever as you think you are if you didn't see through that.
Well, the thing is, though, like, to be fair, like, she doesn't have time because then, like, the seers start activating and she's all like, oh, God, the lamp, and just flies off down the corridor, which is meant to be scary, but I'm just like, that just looks kind of funny to me.
Oh, no, there were some legitimately scary bits from Salem in this episode. That was not one of them. That was just silly.
Do you reckon, like, when she's alone and she zips about like that, she's, like, under her breath just going... Wee.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Oh, you know what? Being cursed with immortality was worth it when I get to fly.
You know what I don't regret? Flying. Wee.
Can I lose the immortality but keep the flight? Yeah, sure. Yay. I give
Can
up
I
being
also e- keep the stretchy limbs?
I give up being evil.
That's how easy she turns.
But yeah, so then we cut back to the fight because like Jean, Ren, and Yang are just fighting Grimm. Cut back to the fight outside. The fight's still going on. Like everything's going on. Maro kind of ruins the moment because he sort of turns around, looks the world, and is like, "Come on, Juan." And I'm like, "Maro, come on! Like you worked with Jean. It's meant. I get this. Like, oh, it's a throwback to him getting his name wrong in Volume 7, but like." I know
his name.
Maybe I'm getting too angry over what's meant to be just like a harmless joke, but that just really infuriated me. I'm like, not the time guy, not the time writers. Come on.
It might be just like that's his like name for him. Like it's, but it's at the same time it's like they haven't really established that.
Yeah,
and then, except for that one bit.
And then to be fair, I like this bit. Like the trio run into Emerald and Hazel about to fight, and it turns out that's not Hazel. Emerald was using her semblance to disguise Oscar, and I'm like, okay, that was smart. And actually looking back at the previous scene when Salem confronted quote unquote Hazel and Emerald, Hazel's character animation was actually really good there because it kind of does give away that that's not him.
The fact he's shaking, the eyes are wide a little bit, it's like, oh, that's clever.
I do have to question though, because I thought the way Emerald's semblance worked was that she made, like, it's illusions. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Hazel was looking down at Emerald, I guess...
They do bring us up later. Salem actually goes to Emerald like, you've been honing that semblance of yours, haven't you?
Maybe that's just how it is, Matt, like, because also, yeah, so... Because Oscar's much shorter than Hazel, so, like... Maybe
she's just gotten better.
Maybe
to be fair, when was the last time we saw her use it?
When she fought Penny, but literally earlier in the volume. But
never mind.
But like, I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too hard about it because I remember there because it doesn't at one point Emerald actually look up at not Hazel, but it's like, but hang on a second, you know it's Oscar. Shouldn't you be looking down? Because he's shorter than you. Unless
but she might be keeping the charade up.
Yeah, or is it a case of that? When she makes the illusion, she can also see the illusion? Because I was under the assumption that Emerald didn't see her own illusions, like she could see what was actually happening. But again, maybe I'm reading too much into this. It's like, come on, Mike, we've still got like 8 more minutes in the episode.
But that's what we do.
But then, of course, Yang's all like, okay, but why should we trust Emerald? And then Ren's like, because she's afraid. And it's like, there we go. And I get... And I buy that. It makes sense for Emerald to be afraid. She's been afraid for like the last 4 volumes. But I already went on the tirade about that. Let's just move on.
So as they're trying to flee, they then near enough get out. Oh, no, no, wait, before that.
Yeah, Winter's setting up the bomb, and then Marrow's all like, but the kids are still in there. And Winter's like, oh, we've got a job to do. And then Marrow's like, would you say the same thing if it was your sister inside? And I do like, I was fully expecting Winter to just smack him, but she kind of like Marrow can't see her face, but she's clearly devastated by the possibility of letting those kids die. She does not want to do it, but she's like going through with it anyway because she legit feels she has no other option. And it's, oh, poor Winter. She's going to need so much therapy after this volume.
I feel like a lot of characters are going to need therapy after this volume.
And I do also, I forgot, Marrow also has a line like, are you going to tell your sister what you did to her friends? And I'm like, man, obviously we know that's not going to happen, but man, imagine that conversation. Winter coming up to Weiss and saying, hey, Yang, Jean, Ren and Oscar are all dead, and it's kind of my fault. It's like...
like, oh, that's going to go down like a lead balloon if that did happen.
And she also
thankfully
said,
it's not.
Yeah, she says to Marrow, like, I have to do my duty, now you do yours. And I almost feel like that's Winter kind of going, quit the Aesops, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you're the only good one of the team, please get out.
Speaking of getting out, like, the squad is about to escape, and then Salem literally, like, crashes through the wall or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah! Just smashes through, like, the Kool-Aid Man.
And this is actually, like, kind of crazy to me. Like, this is, like, the heroes' first actual confrontation with Salem. This is their first time seeing her in person, and it's not really made that much of a big deal about. Like, they just try and fight her, and I kind of like that.
Like, I also do love the bit before the fight where, like, Mercury there. Emerald tries to run away, and Salem literally just grabs her, like, not giving her a chance. Yeah. Like, ooh.
And then Ren just opens fire, and I don't know, the scene of Ren just shooting at Salem is really funny to me, and I can't explain why.
It is great. I think the bit that got me though is when Yang blows her up, and it's,
yeah, and we actually, ooh, see how horrible, we see how Salem's regeneration works, because like you see like her it looks like her insides are just outside her body and then they just go back in,
but they freeze her first, and it is like, and then she's like, you hear her arm that sounds like it's broken like click back into place and grab hold of Yang. It's like, oh, this is, it's all a bit horrible, really.
Yeah, so anyway, like, the heroes all get, like, taken out, and Salem's like, where's the lamp, Emerald? And Emerald's like, I don't know, I didn't take it. And then at this point, you remember what you were saying in, like, the mid-season trailer? Like, that really creepy shot of Salem grabbing Oscar's face? That was creepy without context. With context, it's worse, because I think she was threatening to poke his eyes out.
Yeah, because she literally has her thumbs over his eyes. It's like, oh, no, 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 no.
And then you get the great bit where Yang's kind of like, bitch, like, it's all like, oh, like, you're just mad because something bad happened to you one time. And like, you go on.
It was the fact that she goes to Oscar, why do you keep coming back? Like, it's like, oh yeah, she doesn't know why he keeps coming back. He just does.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah,
Yang
true.
Brings up, why do you keep coming back?
Well, I think Salem does know that. I'm pretty sure. Did Dospin never tell her about the whole curse of resurrection thing, or whatever the hell you want to call it? Reincarnation?
I don't know if he did.
Because I always took the why do you keep coming back, not in a sense of like literally why, but it's more of a case of like, why don't you just give up? Like, you, like,
or maybe,
case,
yeah.
Okay, so if you can't win, why do you keep resisting me, or something like that? And then Yang, and you know, again, Yang calls her out, and she has this line where she's like, everyone I've ever lost is because of you. And I'm sort of like, Yang, who have you lost? Like, Summer? Am I missing anybody? Like, she makes it out as if, like, Salem's responsible for, like, killing so much of Yang's closest... I suppose she could have been referring to Pyrrha as well, but, like, that's two people. But then you get...
Yeah.
Anyway, being really nitpicky, I suppose she could have been referring to Raven as well, in the sense that Raven, you know, because of Salem, ditched her family and all that. But then... though, to be fair, I do like the fact that Salem's like, who did I take from you? And and Yang goes, my mum, Summer Rose. And somewhere, Raven's heart is breaking.
Yeah, but we don't care about her.
Yeah, don't care. And then Salem, like, just has this little grin, like, her again? And I'm like, oh, so I'm calling it now. Salem has Summer in the basement, and is going to turn her into a Grimm in, like, two volumes or something. I bet she's still alive.
Oh my God, I'm calling it now. End of the volume. Sub Rose is going to appear as a Grimm.
Oh, really? Oh, end of the volume? Oh, okay.
Like the bit just before the credits.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Like, literally, the last bit we see before the credits is Summer being turned into a Grimm, or is already a Grimm.
Oh, that'd be so cool. and tragic. But anyway, Sailor
Moon. I was about to say, that'd be horrifying. Like, oh God, yeah. No.
But anyway, it's at this point where Hazel arrives and Sailor Moon's like, oh good, Hazel's here. I'm just about to murder some kids. By the way, the lamp's missing. And then Hazel, you know, he slowly walks up to Oscar, picks him up, pulls him towards him, and then whispers, no more Gretchen's, boy. And I'm like, that line does not have the impact you think it does, Hazel.
A.K.A. Rooster Teeth.
I actually couldn't give less of a shit about bloody Gretchen. I was like, and I know that's harsh.
Sorry.
I know that's harsh, but I literally don't care about her.
I just want to bring up the bit from Guardians of the Galaxy. Who?
Anyway, like, because we've only got like 6 minutes, we need to hurry up. Anyway, we get Hazel stays behind to fight Salem, like officially defected. Which means he's going to die.
Smashing it away from Emerald, yeah. I'm pretty sure he does die right at the end of this.
I think it's ambiguous enough. But anyway, he, like, tells Emerald to get out. I do like the little exchange. They have, like, a little glance to each other. Like, a little shake of Emerald's head. Like, she knows that he's not going to survive. But that's nice. So everyone else just leaves. Hazel stays behind. He jams a bunch of dust crystals into his body, which is pretty cool. And they don't do the stupid voice distortion thing. I'm glad they learned their lesson.
Thankfully, yes.
And I'll give Hazel this. Like, this fight, like, seeing him utilize all these dust powers is actually pretty cool.
And he does, like, the Kratos thing where, like, he smashes her down and just continuously punches her in the face.
Yeah, like, you see, like, Salem's blood, like, fly all over the place.
You see her face literally caved
in. Oh, yeah, her face caves in.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so I actually really do like the animation on, like, Salem's, like, whole regeneration kind of dealio. I think that's pretty sick. But anyway, Hazel's, like, about to die, and then Oscar starts using the magic, and then it's at this point, again, I'm sorry we're rushing, but, you know, it's a fight. You can't do a play-by-play of a fight, as we've said multiple times before.
Yeah.
He starts using the magic on her, and then Hazel, like, grabs her from behind. I do like this bit, actually, where, like, he's got, like, a fire crystal in his mouth, and he breaks it with his teeth and sets both of them on fire.
And Salem is actually hurt by this, which makes me think, oh, yeah, she still feels pain.
Is it a scream of pain, or is it a scream of annoyance? Like, oh, this is so infuriating!
Stop fighting back!
Don't you mean infuriating? I am going to kill you, Hazel!
You won't get the chance, and at this point,
I forgot about my love of puns. They died with my sister, but now they have been reborn!
At this point, we see Oscar charging up the beam. Hazel goes, do it! And then fires, and that's the end of the episode.
Sorry, I'm laughing because I saw an edit where it's like, let me know when you're about to fire it, okay? I'm right behind him. Oh, don't you worry. Special beam cannon! Is that what you're going to yell before you fire it? Oh, jeez!
Oh, God!
But, okay, I'm sorry that if, like, I don't have enough time to talk about this, but I'm glad Hazel defected. I'm glad that finally happened, but I'm sorry, Hazel. If you really did die, you were wasted, my friend. You were.
We've been saying that since Volume 5. Like, Volume 5 ruined Hazel.
Could have been. Could have done a lot more with him.
Yeah. I feel like that's the worst thing. Like, without Volume 5, this still would have felt rushed. But
yeah.
It would be like, we wouldn't be as angry. We wouldn't be like, ugh, whatever. But with Volume 5, the baggage that Volume 5 left, I'm sorry, it just kind of ruined him as a character.
I feel like even without Volume 5's bullshit, like, I do just feel Hazel was just very underutilized.
Hmm.
Again, I feel like,
especially compared to Watts and Tyrion.
Like, if you told me, like, oh, by the way, like, when Hazel first appeared in Volume 4, oh, by the way, he defects in 4 volumes, I'm like, really? Only 4?
Yeah. See, I was calling it that if he didn't get vaporized, they'd all escape. And then, like, he's like, go and kill me. And she turns him into a Grimm. Like, he's the replacement for the Hound. That's what I was calling. But then after this, I'm like, oh, no, I think he's just dead.
No, they should do that. Your idea's way better.
It would be like, oh, God, that makes it even more tragic.
So he doesn't even get to defect, just forcibly brainwashed. So he's still on her side.
That would be messed up. It just sounds like they're not going with that. I do like the idea that we're actually, like, Salem's definitely not dead, but, like, they're forced throughout the fight for a little while.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm still, like, looking forward to what happens, like, in the next episodes and all of that, but I just feel like again, just being myself at this point, Hazel's entire thing I felt was just not as good as it could have been. I'll try and go into a lot more detail when I eventually get around to my volume 8 review, like later.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That's gonna be a long one.
Because I don't know, maybe this opinion will change. Maybe like Hazel will survive for another few more episodes, or maybe he'll survive till the end and actually join the good guys. Though, I actually will say as well, I know I said earlier, I hope Emerald does switch sides, but if she does, somebody needs to leave. Like. Crow, can you stay behind in Atlas? Because this crowd is getting too big.
We've got too many characters.
Yeah.
We have too many.
And I really hope Emerald actually gets a proper interaction with Cinder before this volume ends. Because I will not accept her defecting Salem and joining the good guys without some kind of Cinder involvement. Like, there has to be.
Hmm.
And I will say, sorry, I know I've got like less than a minute left, but even as frustrated as I am with how Hazel's character has been handled, I do think him dying to save everybody works. It fits. It feels like a natural conclusion.
It feels in character.
Yeah, the conclusion to his arc makes sense. In fact,
everything before that.
The arc itself makes sense. It's just compressed so badly.
It's compressed and volume 5. Like, I know we keep, like, I know we keep going back, but volume 5 is an... Oh, volume 5 ruined so much.
Should not have shoved Hazel's backstory and motivation into, like, part of a big fight like that.
And not in the dumbest way possible. Like we even said it, like, if they added it in during, like, the torture scenes, it would have been like, Jesus. Like, it would have made so much more sense there. But because they just floundered and messed it all up, it just ruined his character.
Actually, you know what, thinking about it, you know what makes it kind of worse? Do you want to know another villain whose backstory and motivations were kind of sort of explained in the middle of a fight, which was done way better, when Watts was fighting Ironwood?
Yeah. God, that's depressing.
Sometimes I feel like Ruby has like two different writing teams, and one of them is like really good at, at subtle character development and stuff like that, and the other half just feels the need to just explain everything to the viewer.
But in the worst way possible.
Yeah, anyway, we've gone over an hour. We need to wrap up.
Yeah, so we will see you next week, and we might actually have some game news next week.
Yeah, we might skip the recaps for once, because, oh boy!
I feel like we might need to, because if it's anything big, this Nintendo Direct's going to be a good one, especially we haven't had one since 2019, when you think about it.
If you don't count all those partner directs, which apparently a lot of people don't.
No, they don't.
Which is mean.
Which is mean, but I get it. So, this is James all saying goodbye.
This is Michael Beckwith saying goodbye.
We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.